So a few days ago, I decided I was going to make a podcast. Why? I have no idea. And I have no idea what I'm doing now. You're listening to the Project Podcast. I'm your host, Peach. This is episode 1, season 1. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. Yeah, so as the intro states, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm learning, and you know what? I think I could get the hang of this whole podcast thing. I got it stuck in my head the other day that I was going to start this, you know, totally out of the blue. I have no idea why. I can't shake it. So here I am today talking to you guys, which is funny because in real life, I'm not a talkative person. And I'm not a very social person. I have a very small circle, which is basically just me and my cat. But over the course of the past couple days, I found this to be fun, enjoyable. It's pretty therapeutic. So I'm going to open my circle up a little bit more to let you guys in. So from here on out, we're friends. I consider you friends. You guys are my family. And I'm going to do my best to provide you with an organized show that's full of quality content that can hopefully take you away from the stresses of everyday life and help your brain relax a little bit by talking about some chilled out and interesting stuff. You know, no politics, no hate, no negative vibes. You know, just good old-fashioned stoner talk. And listen, I promise that the audio quality is going to improve tremendously by next episode. I actually went out mic shopping the day after I conceived this idea, and I just got completely overwhelmed by everything. So I decided that I would just run with what I have now. And if it was something that I decided that I wanted to pursue, then I would definitely upgrade the equipment. So if you have any suggestions on mics or equipment or studio stuff that could help me have a better show for you guys, please let me know. If you have any suggestions about anything else at all, let me know. I would love to hear from you. I want this to be as interactive as possible. Before we jump into the episode, I want to take a couple seconds with you guys and just kind of reset our minds. I want you to close your eyes and take two really deep breaths and really focus on nothing but those two breaths. Ready? Begin. Pretty nice, right? It's like giving your mind a nice stretch. Well, with that out of the way, let's get right into segment one. It's all about the multiverse. In 1952, this guy named Erwin Schrödinger, who's best known for stuffing his cat in a box, gave a lecture in Dublin where he warned the audience. He said, "Guys, hold on to your butts, because what I'm about to tell you is gonna make me seem like a crazy lunatic." He said his equations seemed to describe several different histories that were not alternatives, but all really happened simultaneously. According to Wikipedia, multiple universes have been hypothesized in cosmology, physics, astronomy, religion, philosophy, transpersonal psychology, music, and all kinds of literature, particularly in science fiction, comic books, and fantasy. In these contexts, parallel universes are also called alternate universes, quantum universes, interpenetrating dimensions, parallel universes, parallel dimensions, parallel worlds, parallel realities, quantum realities, alternate timelines, alternate dimensions, and dimensional planes. Physicists are divided about whether any other universes exist outside of our own. Some say the multiverse is not a legitimate topic of scientific inquiry, and concerns have been raised about whether attempts to exempt the multiverse from experimental verification could erode public confidence in science and ultimately damage the study of fundamental physics. Some have argued that the multiverse is a philosophical notion rather than a scientific hypothesis because it cannot be empirically falsified. The ability to disprove a theory by means of scientific experiment has always been part of the accepted scientific method. Paul Steinhardt famously argued that no experiment can rule out a theory if the theory provides for all possible outcomes. In 2007, Steven Weinberg suggested that if the multiverse existed, the hope of finding rational explanation for the precise values of quark masses and other constants of the standard model that we observe in our Big Bang is doomed. for their values would be an accident of the particular part of the multiverse in which we live. Okay, so the evidence for this theory is a little weak, to say the least. In 2010, scientists analyzed the data from the Wilkinson Microwave Anisotropy Probe, which is a satellite/thermometer floating around in space, taking temperature readings all over the sky. And they claimed that within that data, there was evidence suggesting that our universe collided with another parallel universe sometime in the distant past. However, more thorough analysis of that data, plus the data from a newer satellite called the Planck satellite, which is 3 times better, didn't reveal anything. No evidence of any gravitational pull from another universe on ours. So, evidence-wise, we got nothing. The explain like I'm 5 version I heard a while ago was that our universe is just a big bubble, floating around with an infinite amount of other bubbles. Each bubble just slightly different than the last. And they're all bouncing into each other, and every time a bubble collides with another, a big bang happens and a new bubble's formed, or a new universe is created. You know, and it's kind of neat to think about that there's just an infinite amount of views out there. Each one just slightly different than the last, with every possibility. There's a universe where you're an A-list celebrity, and there's a universe where you're dirt poor. You know, and there's a universe where you're president, and there's a universe where Scarlett Johansson has a huge crush on me, but I won't give her the time of day because in that universe, I'm just way too cool. So if this theory is correct, that universe exists, and Scarlett, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'm just too cool in that universe. I'm sorry. There are actually people out there that believe they've been to another dimension and returned. One guy in particular came back with a souvenir. I'm going to take a quick break, but when I come back, I want to talk about James Richards and how the Beatles never broke up. On September 9, 2009, James Richards was driving from Turlock, California to his home in Livermore after spending a few days at a friend's house. He had his dog as his passenger. Nothing planned for the rest of the day, and the weather was great, so he decided to take a trip to a place called Del Puerto Canyon. It's just west of Turlock, and there's a scenic road that runs through the canyon and goes right to Livermore. He hasn't taken that cruise in a while. He thought, what the heck, it's early. It was only 2 p.m. Well into the canyon, the dog begins to act up like she needs to be let out. So he pulls over to let the dog out, and the dog immediately spots a rabbit and gives chase. James says the dog is normally extremely well behaved, but if she's chasing something, there's no stopping her. So James runs after the dog, but in doing so, his foot slips into a rabbit hole. He trips, falls over, hits his head, goes out like a light. He awoke in a room full of normal everyday home furnishings and some unrecognizable electronic equipment. His head was bandaged up like he's been taken care of, but the weird thing is, the last thing he remembers is being in a very rural area. And now he can hear traffic and city sounds just beyond the window, which lies on the opposite side of the room from him. Next to the window is a very large piece of electronic equipment. He stands up to take a peek out of the window when the door opens and his dog rushes in. He bends down to pet the dog. The dog's super happy to see him. He looks up, and standing in the doorway is a very tall man, about 6 feet tall, long black hair. He's dressed nice but casual, and apparently he had a, quote, greasy vibe to him. He introduces himself as Jonas and explains to James that he found him passed out and brought him inside to bandage him up and take care of him. James is grateful, but he's still very confused, and he asks where he is. Jonas replies that he found him only 20 feet away from where they are now. James says that's impossible, because where he went unconscious was 20 miles away from the closest building, and now he sounds like he's in a city. Jonas looks over at the electronic equipment, then back to James, and says, "Alright, I found you in your dimension. It was a desert. It wasn't a good area for you to be in. I thought it was an emergency. I don't normally do this, but I brought you back through the portal and fixed you up. It was an emergency. It was the only thing I could do. You were going to die in the desert." James, shocked by what he just heard, and can't help but ask more questions about interdimensional travel. Jonas explained that in the 1950s, the government controlled NASA, and they were running another project to study interdimensional travel. Due to budget cuts, they needed to scrap one project, and NASA got the boot. Over the years, interdimensional travel became more of a recreational thing. Tourists, adventurers, explorers, they would all use this, but there was a risk involved, and many, many people died. If you didn't know where you were going, you didn't know where your portal was going to open, and more often than not, people fell to their deaths, or they drowned when the portal opened up above water. Even with the risks, it was still popular, and before you know it, travel agencies started to pop up all over the place, and they employed people called brokers, who would explore dimensions, find new paradise worlds, and bring the coordinates back so people could go on vacation there, and that's exactly what Jonas was. He was in our dimension just scouting it out when he stumbled upon James and did what he had to do to keep James alive. James is incredibly grateful, but he can't help but just ask more questions about this new dimension he's in. And he found that although there are differences, there are a lot of similarities, including a lot of the same bands share both dimensions. While they were talking music, James mentioned the Beatles. Jonas's eyes almost lit up and said that his nephew just went to a concert. The Beatles are on tour right now. He said he had a great time. It was an awesome show. James is, again, shocked to find out that the Beatles are still on tour. It's all the same members, everybody's alive, and they're still out there pumping out hits. Jonas decides to show James his music collection. James followed Jonas into a room, and it was like he stepped back in time, because this room was full of cassette tapes. CDs apparently never caught on in this dimension. He rushes over to the B section, finds a Beatles tape, but it's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. The track listing is the same, and there's only slight differences in the cover art. He continues to look and finds more Beatles albums, but these aren't studio albums, they've been recorded on blank cassettes. The track listings are in pen. Jonas pops the tape in, and James listens to some Beatles that he's never heard before, some music that's never been released, and he loves it, it's pretty good. So he asks Jonas if he can have the tape, bring it back. And Jonas shoots him a look that James has never seen in anybody. It almost scared James. And Jonas says, no, absolutely not. You are not to bring anything through the portal. All of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. Jonas goes to check on it. So guess what James does? Zoink, pockets one of them. Jonas comes back. James says he's hungry, just so they can get out of that room. Jonas makes him some food. The food's different colors and is weird and different names, but apparently everything tasted the same and it tasted great. Finally, James tells Jonas that he should be getting back to his own dimension because it's getting pretty late. Jonas agrees, fires up the old dimension machine. James and his dog step through. He says it's like going through water but staying dry the whole time. When he comes back to this dimension, he's about 20 feet away from his car. Gets in his car, he's excited to listen to the tape, but he doesn't have a tape deck. So he's got to go home, buy one, then he listens to the tape. The whole album's great, he loves it. And then he proceeds to make a website and post the album for us all to hear. I'm hesitant to play anything for you because I don't know how interdimensional copyright law works, and I don't want to mess with the Beatles from another dimension. But at your own risk, you can visit this website and listen to it for yourself. The website is thebeatlesneverbrokeup.com. He's got a story, there's a couple pictures. You can listen to the music. You can download the whole album, or you can listen to just the singles. It's called Everyday Chemistry by the Beatles. You got 11 tracks. So what do you think? Do you think there's another you out there in some other universe or some other dimension? Right now, listening to the Beatles' new album. Maybe there's a dimension out there where you are a Beatle. Well, guys, I wanted to keep this episode a little short. I do plan on uploading 30-minute episodes, but this first one, I just wanted to get it uploaded, get it out there, introduce myself to you guys, and complete that first step in the podcast world of getting my voice out there. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and I'm going to get to work right away on episode 2. I've already got a good plan for it. I got a ghost in my house, so I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about some other ghostly things. I want to talk about some cool plants that we have on Earth. And I'd like to talk about some things that are just hidden in plain sight. Some things that you may have in your town. For instance, a town over from me, there's this 20-foot stone tower that somebody found, and nobody has any idea what it is. It's been there for as long as anybody can remember. But even the town's historical society has no idea what this thing is. It's just some local mystery. So we'll get into some of that. And I don't currently have one, but I'm thinking that I might make an Instagram for the show. If I do go ahead and do that, I'll put a link in the description so you guys can come over and follow, and you can see what's going on in my makeshift studio here in my kitchen, and you can see how it evolves and how the show evolves. And on that note, I'd like to say, stop using single-use plastic, have a great week, and I'll see you guys on episode 2.